Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we being blessed?
Yes.
Are we being delivered?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, this is the last night that we are here with you. And we have been blessed. We have been encouraged. We have seen God move in a very special and mighty way this week. Hallelujah. And I believe it's only the beginning. I believe it's only the beginning. God, which started a good work in you, will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the first chapter of Acts. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples and to the believers before he was taken up. And I want to read to you in verse 8, chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That verse there that speaks about that you must be witnesses in Jerusalem, it's speaking about the city of your nativity. I have a Jerusalem, and you have a Jerusalem. My Jerusalem was the city in which I was grown up in. Your Jerusalem is the city that you grew up in. We are standing here in the city of Uyo, Nigeria. And how many of you, is this your Jerusalem? Raise your hands if you were born and raised in Uyo. How many of you were born and raised in the city of Uyo? How many of you? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Just a few. We're in the city of Uyo. I only see 5 hands raised. You bet. You were born in Uyo. You were born in Uyo. You, sister, you were? You were? All right.
Amen.
Wow, you would think we weren't in Uyo right now. Okay, well, where did you come from? From the surrounding villages? Did you come from the surrounding villages? Maybe some of you were born in Calabar. Maybe some of you were born in Igbe. Wherever you were born and you grew up with. Did I say it wrong? Praise the Lord. Well, forgive my American language. But the place that you were born in, the place that you grew up in, that is your Jerusalem. And each one of us have to overcome our Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it says that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness in high places. And when Satan was cast down from the heavens, when there was a war in heaven, Satan was cast down and his angels. And this world became his kingdom. And he divided up this kingdom of this world into principalities. And he placed the fallen angels that rebelled against God in a place of rulership over these principalities. And When we are first born again, we come out of that place of darkness, out from under the power of Satan, and we're translated into the kingdom of our dear Son, Jesus Christ. But once we are delivered, it's just the beginning. Now we have to overcome the spirits in which we dwell in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was sharing the other day my testimony, and I was born in a city called Dubuque, Iowa, and the city and the surrounding area was over 90% Roman Catholic. It doesn't take much thinking to understand what the prince is that sits over the city of Dubuque and the surrounding area. It's a religious spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brethren. We have to overcome our Jerusalem. So when I became born again, I had to begin to overcome the spirits that dwelt in the city, the spirits that have power over the rule of my family. I came from generations and generations of Roman Catholics. They were under that spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God in His sovereignty. Do you know that you can be a born again Christian? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you still never overcome your Jerusalem. Huh? Oh yeah. We could put it in another place. Do they have the picture of the tabernacle here? When we look at the tabernacle, we see the two pieces of furniture as the brazen altar, which is it's symbolic of our born-again experience, our salvation. The second piece of furniture in the outer court is the brazen laver, which is symbolic of our baptism. But it's still in the outer court. It's still in a place where it is open to the elements. And many Christians never overcome their Jerusalem, or they never progress past the outer court. Hallelujah. Why is that? Do you ever wonder? Why do some Christians go so far and other Christians go farther? And yet other Christians go farther. You know, it's the desire that's in the heart. Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. Brother Bert was talking about unbelief. And the children in the wilderness did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Now think of it, brethren. How have you progressed in God? How much have you overcome in your family environment? In the area that you grew up in? Huh? Praise the Lord. It's a question we should ask ourselves. Because, you know, I'll tell you a secret. And it really should not be a secret. Because it's in the Word of God. It says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Hallelujah. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The Word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Hallelujah. Do you know that I believe that the only way that you can overcome your Jerusalem, overcome your Samaria, is the ability for you to walk in the fullness of God concerning sonship. Hallelujah. If the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, the things that is prepared for those that love God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know when we first got saved, the Lord did something not only for myself, but a number of the brethren that was in the city that we were in. God came to the place where I was working and brought a revival. Now, it wasn't what you would call a revival of great numbers, but you know, it doesn't take much for God. God ended up saving about 7 or 8 of us in this place of work. He not only saved us, but God began to bring to us the fivefold ministry in our lives. Now, I'm not just talking when I say fivefold ministry. I'm talking about when God sent fivefold ministry. And we began to hear the word of the kingdom of God, the apostolic word that began to reveal to us the need for our soul to be changed. And as we were young in the Lord, we began to run after that word. There was something that God did that was so wonderful. I wasn't tainted with false doctrines. Knew nothing about rapture, thank God. Knew nothing about prosperity messages. Knew nothing about, streets of gold. And I say it plural. But the thing that God brought to us was that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God put an appetite in us for the Word of God.
No,
I'm not talking just reading the Word. I'm talking about the Word sent by the Spirit of God. The apostolic Word that begins to go deep within your soul. Do you know that God has a witness on the earth? The Bible calls it a remnant people. The Bible calls it a first fruit people. There's many types of that. Gideon's 300. How many of you believe that we are living in the end time? Huh? How many of us believe that? Praise the Lord. See almost every hand raised. Do you know God has a people for this hour? If we read in Revelation about the last church age, the Laodicean church age, the last church age thinks it well fed, clothed, have need of nothing. But the Lord says, don't you realize that you're poor, you're blind, you're destitute and you're naked. God has a people that is going to need to go through the fire. Brother Bert was talking of the tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience hope. Hope. We are saved by hope. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to tell you what the Lord told me yesterday. As we're in the meetings, God has been blessing us. I don't mean just you, He's been blessing us. We see a hunger for God. We see an attentiveness to the Word. That you're willing to sit for 4 or 5 hours and listen to the Word of God. That means that God is putting His hand upon you. God is stirring a hunger up in you. And in the book of Acts, it's, I believe, chapter 18. It's the story about Paul when he went to Corinth. And he began to minister the word of God. And some believed and some didn't. But those that believed held true to the word. But the Lord came to Paul, and God said, I have much people in this city. And that's the word that came to me yesterday for Uyo. And you brethren that live outside of Uyo, God's not excluding you. He means the area around Uyo. God has much people. But let me define that. Because there's much people out there. Much churches out there. Huh? Many brethren out there. But that's not what the Lord spoke to me. When God was saying, I have much people in this city, He's saying, I have a people here that are beginning to hear the apostolic word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see these men that have labored here, elders here. Ministry has come to the city for over 25, 29 years. And they came with the apostolic word, the apostolic vision. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 24, it says, except for the elect's sake, no flesh will be saved. That means that God has to have a people that will not bow the knee to Baal in this hour. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is creating something here that God wants to nurture, that God wants to feed, that God wants to grow. His spirit within you, in your thinking, in your emotions, in your desires and in your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to share with you a little dream I had one time. The Lord speaks to me in dreams. You don't know me, that's something that the Lord did to me many, many years ago. One time I had this dream, and in this dream I saw Brother Dusile. Alright, how many people here have known or heard of Brother Cecil Dusile? Okay. A number of you have not. Well, as you have been in the meetings this weekend, you've been hearing about him. The calling and election on his life as an apostle of God. I know that many of us here are products of that ministry. Mentored. Amen.
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 Well, in this dream, I saw Brother Dusile. He had a brown paper bag in his hand, and he was taking out of the bag golden earrings. He would take that golden earring and he'd put it on the person's right ear. One for you. And when that golden earring was applied, he began to hear. We began to hear what the Spirit of God was saying. But then I saw something else. I saw someone. I don't hear no difference. put it back in the paper bag. I thought, oh my God, they're losing their hearing. It says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, I talked about this last church age, the Laodicean church age. You have out in that community of what we call church all sorts of false doctrines, all things that take people to the right or to the left. But I'm telling you, brethren, we need the apostolic vision, the apostolic word, the anointing of the ear into hearing the word that will change your soul. Hallelujah. You know, many people out there in church realms here, healing ministries, deliverance ministries, you see it all the time, right? Miracle ministries, people follow after miracle, follow after this, follow after that. You know, the devil is just as good at miracles and healing as God is. He's a great deceptor. Hallelujah. Many people think that there's a great power when they see people knocking people down. Oh, God, help us. And the church is so blind, they cannot even discern between the truth. I remember back in 1982, it was about a year after we were saved, God sent Brother Duciel to Dubuque. We were excited. We wanted everybody to hear who could possibly hear. Now remember, Dubuque was 90% Catholic. You don't get people of Catholics to come to a meeting like that. But there was small church groups all over Dubuque. Little independent groups, Assembly of God groups, Baptist groups, Lutheran groups. And we knew many of the church community or the leaders of it. We said, come, we want you to hear what this man has to say. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, he came, and I'll always remember three individuals. They were elderly. They were Christians in our community for probably over 50 years. They were in their 70s. And they wanted to see. And they came in, they were wanting to see God. But you know, they were looking for God in the wrong way. They were looking for Him, some sign of sign or miracle. As Brother Duciel was ministering, he was ministering on the tabernacle. The anointing and the word fell. You know, when the Spirit of God comes in our midst, does He not come and cut right through to the heart? Does He not? Huh? Does it not feel as it were when the disciples walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus? When they finally realized when Jesus revealed Himself and was gone, they said, did we not know? He said, did not our hearts burn within us while He spoke to us? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, you know it. You know the prophecy is given to you tonight. Hold on to it, for it's a word of God. Hallelujah. So, at the end of the meeting, these three elderly people got up, and I was standing near them and I heard their conversation. They were disgusted. They were disgusted. We don't see no move here. We don't see no miracles. We didn't see any healing. And I said, oh my God. My God. so the next day we had two more meetings. Again, we had a lot of people there. And as the word was going forth, I was being blessed. And I looked around. And I saw people totally disinterested, turning around, not receiving the word. Now remember, I'm a young Christian. Maybe less than 2 years of knowing God. But I did know God. Because I was hearing something they weren't hearing. And I was shocked because of my lack of experience or my lack of understanding. I couldn't understand, why aren't they hearing what I'm hearing? Why aren't they hearing? The church should be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying in this hour. Do you know all that was left after those meetings? Just our core brethren. But let me tell you what happened that day. In between two meetings, we were having dinner for everybody, or lunch for everyone that was there. And my wife, Susan, was working with other ladies in the church that was preparing the food for the people. And she was carrying a crock pot, you know, where you plug it in and it heats the food up. And there was a boiling, like a gravy mix. Or maybe I could liken it to your tomatoes and onions. They're good too. Anyway, as she walked through the crowd, someone bumped her and all of it fell over onto her arm and down onto her clothes. I was up in the front and my wife was in the back, and Brother Duciel happened to be walking by at that moment. He quickly grabbed her arm. He said, in the name of Jesus be healed, there shall be no scar. Hallelujah. So my wife, as any woman would like to be, she doesn't want to wear a mess all over her. She asked me if I would drive her home so she could change her clothes. Her arm was all reddened. But she came home and she changed her clothes. And she came out and she said, George, look, there's nothing there. Hallelujah. It was a miracle. But the miracle wasn't given for those that do not believe. It was for those who believe. And the Bible tells us, these signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. I guarantee to you, brethren, if you want God, you're going to get God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you want God above anything else, God is going to work on your behalf. He's not going to allow you to be deceived. And as He gives you an understanding, as you have a desire to go all the way with God, God is working in your life to train you, to teach you, to give you that power to overcome sin, to overcome the family spirits in your life, to overcome the spirits that rule the area that you dwell in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's many that say, oh, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. There's many that can say that, right? But it's another that has the authority to carry it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Word of God in Acts chapter 19, it tells the story of Paul at Ephesus. Do you remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? They said they were of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. Now, you know what vagabond means? Vagabond. The King James says vagabond. But if you look at it, it talks about wandering about. Wandering about. You know, we sing a song, "I was born to be thy dwelling place, a home for the presence of the Lord." I don't want to be a vagabond Christian. I don't want to wander around in the wilderness. I do not want to be dwelling in the outer court. God's given me an ear to hear that I would press on to the Holy of Holies. As Paul said, "I will not be satisfied." Or was that David? David said it. "I will not be satisfied until I awake unto thy likeness." Hallelujah. So brethren, as we were young in the Lord, we began to listen to the apostolic word. We began to listen to the ministry that God sent. And I'm going to tell you the difference. You have to be able to discern between the ministry that God sends and false ministry. Oh yeah. And you know, there's something very simple. And it, you know, God is really simple. It's so simple we fail to see it. It's like we can't even see it. The true ministry, one, is sent by God. And two, they are not self-motivated in any way.
Yes.
Amen. Think about it. You pray about it. They are not self-motivated. They do not choose where they want to go. They go where God tells them to go. Hallelujah. And I believe, because you know, I also believe that we are having to overcome the spirit of Nicolaitanism. Huh? The spirit of Nicolaitanism. That means a hierarchy. That means a thief. Someone that would take the position of Christ. Don't you allow anyone to take the position of Christ in your life. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. That's why when we talk of a church system with pastors, it is not the divine order of God. Hallelujah. I'm sharing something with you, and I hope that you're able to understand it in the Spirit. Because I'm not the great orator as some are. You know, Billy Sunday. Did anybody ever hear of Billy Sunday? The great evangelist. He was a great evangelist in the United States, in London. And he went to London and he spoke to all the high learned people. And one day a group of Cambridge students came to listen to him. And as Billy Sunday spoke, they laughed at his speaking. They made make fun of him. And he continued on for a while. But it got to the point where he turned around to them and he rebuked them. He said, "You can make fun of me all day long, but don't you dare make fun of the Word of God." Hallelujah. The conviction came upon those students and they got saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, we're talking about overcoming Jerusalem. Some of these things I'm sharing with you is part of my overcoming the city that I dwelt in. I had to pay a price for being a Christian when all the generations of my family were Roman Catholic. Do you know God tests us? Do you know God tests you? I mean, we all say, "Oh God, God, I want to serve you," right? But the Word says, "Be very careful what you vow before God, for He holds you to your word." But I'm going to put it in a positive vein right now, because if in your heart you are wanting God with all of your being, God works in your life to make situations and circumstances, or what was shared tonight, tribulation, in order for you to make the right decision so that you can overcome. Amen?
Amen.
Because as you overcome in one situation, God gives you another situation. And the more that you overcome, or the more you obey the Holy Ghost, the more God then enlarges your tent, or sees that you can come to a stage where you've overcome your Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, there was a number of years later in Dubuque. Well, there were 7 or 8 years later. But I thank God for His Spirit and how His Spirit works through the fivefold ministry. Not only the apostolic ministry, but the prophetic ministry, the teaching ministry, the shepherding ministry, and the evangelical ministry. Hallelujah. And there were words that were given to me that was prophesied over me that I hold to this day, because each step was God was moving through that ministry to work perfection in me. Hallelujah. I used to be bothered with a spirit of fear. Fear. The Bible says fear has torment. But you know, as I'm hungering God, that hunger from God is going to supersede every weakness within my being. When I was young, you couldn't get me up before 3 people, much less 200. And when I got saved, I had no idea that in 33 years, I travel around the world. But one day, we're in a conference, and if you're sort of fearful, you don't sit in the front seat. I was way back there where the doorway was. And this man was up ministering the Word of God. He moved in the teaching ministry, but he also moved in the prophetic. And I was wearing a red shirt, and he pointed his finger and he said to the brother in the red shirt in the back, he says, "The Lord says, this day I have set you free from the spirit of fear." Hallelujah. Do you know what I thought at that moment? I'm never going to wear this red shirt again. But you know, that began the deliverance of fear in my life. But I had to keep rejecting fear. And rejecting fear. And rejecting fear. Because it was a familiar spirit of my family. Hallelujah. You know, we're all dealing with familiar spirits. But my hope and my confidence is in God Himself and what God spoke to me. A couple of years later, we're in our fellowship. Again, the ministry had come, and a prophetic word came to me again. And he comes up to me and he says, "Oh Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Honestly, brethren, that's the last thing I felt. But God speaks into existence those things that are not. And that word began to well up in me. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can serve you. I do not have to fear you, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, things began to work in my life from that point on, and in the life of my wife. We found ourselves moving more in the things of God than what we did earlier. But we found out that there was a certain overcoming in our Jerusalem that we had overcome. All right? Now, when you look at that scripture verse, it says you must first overcome your Jerusalem and then your Samaria. So let us just imagine here for a second, okay? That every one of us here was born in Uyo. All right? Even though most of you may not, just think that you were born in Uyo. Well, as you are diligent in God, as you are fighting the devil, fighting the familiar spirit, fighting the spirits in the city that you dwell, and God sees you obedient, there comes a day God says, "Okay, son, you have overcome your Uyo. I'm going to send you to Calabar." Amen. If you don't overcome the spirits in Uyo, and you think, "Oh yes, I'm a mighty man of God," and you go to Calabar, the spirits just laugh at you. They say, "Who are you?" And the devils of Jerusalem, or Uyo that you did not overcome, they send spirits to Calabar. "Oh, let's show this guy a lesson. Let's see what he really knows." Hallelujah. So these spirits here in the seven sons of Sceva, they thought they had the goods. They thought they had the power. And they went in, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And the spirits rose up, and they said, "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you?" And the spirit jumped on them, tore them, and they ran out naked. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We really need to know God. But I'm telling you something. God is closer than what we realize. The word says he's even near within our own mouth and our heart. If we believe, if we call upon his name, if we hold on to the word God is delivering to his people in this hour, you will see God move in your life. Hallelujah. There came a test for me. I think it was somewhere in the late 1980s, about 1988, 1989, we had a meeting in Dubuque, and we were living about 10 miles That would be about 16 kilometers outside of Dubuque. And so we got into our car, my wife and me, and we began to drive. And it was nighttime. Now Dubuque sits on the Mississippi River. And it's got bluffs on both sides of the river. And so we were in the state of Wisconsin. We were driving. We had to cross the river. Now that particular night, as we got in the car, we just began to pray. But we began to pray in the spirit. We were speaking in tongues. We didn't say, okay, let's speak in tongues. We just began to speak in tongues, praying. And as that car, we drove about 9 or 10 miles. And as the car turned around the bend, the valley opened up and you could see all the city at night, all the light. And I went into a vision. And the prince that sits over the city of Dubuque came to me and he said, "What right do you have to enter my city?" Now remember me, fearful me. Fearful me. But in that vision, I had a boldness. And I said, "We are the servants of the Most High God, and we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ." As soon as I said it, the Spirit left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went to the meeting that night. And do you know what was happening in the meeting? We got there late. The Spirit was in the meeting. The brethren were having a hard time to enter in. Have you ever been in meetings where you're sort of going through the motions, but you don't feel the life? Is that true? Have you ever? You've experienced. Come on. I think some of you. Yes. Yes. Sometimes we have low meetings. It's not because of your mind. Well, it can be because you are not realizing you're in a battle. But the devil can be in our meetings. And we have to rebuke him and send him out. So we came into that meeting. And it was just so oppressive. The Spirit was there. And all I could think of at that moment was the song, "Hear Us, O Spirits of Darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His servants, purchased with scars. We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. 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 God does not want you to dwell in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place that God wants us to move to Zion. I want to encourage you tonight. Press into God. The Spirit of God has been moving in these meetings to bring you into a higher existence with God. But as Brother Bert was ministering, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must what? Deny himself, pick up your cross, and follow him daily." Daily. You can be an outer court Christian. You can say you're an end time church, but you can still be an outer court Christian if you just come to church on Sunday or on Wednesday or on a prayer night, but the rest of the week you live like the world. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's one more scripture verse I want to share with you in closing. I believe it's in Chronicles. Hallelujah. It's in Chronicles. Give me just a second. It's the scripture that says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro. To and fro. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Just a few amen.
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 All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Did you hear that? God is searching throughout all the earth that he might find one whose heart will be perfect before God. How many of us want to be perfect before God? How many of us are willing to pay the price? How many of us want to overcome our Jerusalem? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when you overcome Jerusalem, God then gives you the ability to overcome the spirits in Samaria. And when you are successful with that, he says that he sends you to Samaria. Did I say Judea or Samaria? I said Judea first. All right, then it's Samaria. When you've overcome those three, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you are fit for the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.